God has granted us one more opportunity like this to study from His living Word. We all love to study the great signs performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to turn your attention to the last sign performed by the risen Lord as recorded in the Gospel according to John. The book of Gospel according to John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14, is the passage for the study today. John, chapter 21, verses from 1 to 14. Let me read it. After these things, Jesus manifested Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and He manifested Himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of His disciples went together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to Him, "We will also come with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, and the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid, and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question Him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. Last May 2015, we as a family had made a plan to go to our hometown. We have booked our ticket well in advance by train, and we reached the station very early. Our children were very excited to see their grandparents, and when the moment we reached the railway station, we were greeted by an announcement on the display board. The announcement was that the particular train in which we are supposed to travel has been cancelled. And we could not believe. We went into the inquiry counter. It was around 7:30 in the evening. And we were told that a train derailment has happened somewhere in Maharashtra. So most of the trains have been delayed, but this particular train has been cancelled. And we looked at the faces of our children, they became really upset. And we came to know that there has been no alternative arrangement. We also felt a lot of panic at the counter. People are coming and inquiring about many changes that happened in the train schedule. Then suddenly a question comes, what shall I do? How can I take my family? We immediately rang up some of the believer friends who we contacted to get some last minute booking through the Tatkal scheme. But that is a summer vacation time, and it was not possible to get any ticket. And how do we respond to such situations in life? Should I also panic like others who don't know God, who don't have God? Who can I rely on the onward journey?
who can provide me a way out? Many situations like this can pop up in your life and my life. Isn't it true that you and I feel panicky and forget that Jesus Christ is sufficient in all of these situations? We become sometimes so overwhelmed by the situations and we forget to consider. We forget to regard that Jesus Christ is sufficient for all our situations. So, dear brothers and sisters, rely on Jesus Christ in all situations because we are His children. Now, if you look at the passage we have studied, we have just read now, if you look at the context, there are two major reasons to rely on Jesus Christ. If you look at the context of the passage alone, we will understand that there are two key reasons why Jesus Christ can be laid off. The first reason is in chapter 21, verses 1 and 14. We read that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. One of the main reasons why we can rely on Jesus Christ is He is alive today. Look at verse 1 and 14 of the passage. We find there the word used is He manifested Himself. Again in verse 14, this is the third time Jesus Christ was manifested. Jesus Christ, after rising from the dead, He is showing Himself. He is revealing Himself to His people that I am alive. He is risen. That's a strong reason to trust in Him, to rely on Him. He is a living God. And we understand that this is not the third time alone. If you look at the book of Gospels, in the book of John, it is recorded as third. More than 6-7 times He has already earlier appeared to His own people. So one of the main reasons we can rely on Him is He is alive. Jesus Christ is risen to the dead. And the second reason also we find in the context of the passage is how the writer concludes chapter 20. If you look at the verse 20, chapter 20, 30 and 31, we all know that that is the purpose statement of this book. The purpose statement of this book is saying that in verse 30, and I would like to read, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in His name. Jesus Christ is stated here as He is sufficient for eternal life. We all know that that is one of the key passages in this book. Just look at this fact, dear brothers and sisters. Believing in Jesus Christ is sufficient for eternal life. Then is He not sufficient for our day-to-day life? The one who is sufficient, one who can grant eternal life, how He can become insufficient for our daily situations? Just look at the example like this. One person who can hold your hand and take you through 100 plus kilometers with you, how He cannot take you for 10-15 meters? All these factors are helping us to realize that we can rely on Him in all situations because He is the risen God. He is a living one. He is not in the tomb. He is a living one, and one who is sufficient to grant us eternal life, He is sufficient for all our daily situations. Now let us look at the passage, chapter 21, verses from 1 to 14. It deals about three aspects of sufficiency. We are going to look at three aspects of sufficiency from this particular passage, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14. The first aspect of sufficiency that we can understand from this passage is regarding our own inability. Our own inability. Let us look at this main point that rely on Jesus because you and I are unable. Let's look at the scene now from verses 1 to 5. We can see seven people in the sea. Peter is our leader and they are fishing in the Sea of Tiberias. It's also called the Sea of Galilee. And if you look at verse 2, we know that all the seven are disciples of Jesus Christ. All are His own people.
or have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. All are not apostles, because we find Nathanael also in the list, but all are his own people. And a big question that comes to your mind and my mind is, while they are in belief that night or that particular day morning, why they are in Galilee? We all know that they all belong to Galilee. That's one of the major factors why they are in Galilee. But another strong reason is, if you look at the scripture, they are anticipating to see Jesus. If you look at the promise given by Jesus in Matthew 26:32, I would like to read like this: "But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Jesus Christ has already promised that after rising from the dead, he will be in Galilee. Then at the tomb also we find that a young man, when he appeared to the women, what was the message? He read in Mark 16:7, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they are in, at the Galilee, place of called Galilee, with a purpose. They are with a purpose to see Jesus Christ, as per the promise. Now, another relevant question comes to our mind is, why they are in the Sea of Galilee? They can be in their house, then they can be in some other place during that night. Why they are in the Sea of Galilee? And it is very difficult to think for you and I that they are going back into the profession. Will they do like that? Because if you look at chapter 20, at the end of chapter 20, we have seen two times, chapter 20, 24 and 26, we find that Jesus has already appeared to them. Then Thomas was not there in one occasion, then all the 11 went together there. So we cannot believe that they had gone back into the old profession, forgetting their call to fish men. But we find another strong possible reason why they are venturing into fishing, Peter being the leader, is that just to meet their basic need. Or to basic need of food, or survival, or to satisfy their hunger. That could be one strong reason we can find they are in the Sea of Galilee, but they are anticipating Jesus Christ, to meet Jesus Christ. But a very important point here, brothers and sisters, we understand is that they failed. They failed in the venture. They got nothing. Let us look at verse 3. At the end, they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. They failed in the fishing aspect. In spite of many favorable factors, if you look at that particular thing, we understand that they are all natives of Galilee. They are all native of Galilee, and they had experience in fishing, and they have worked through the whole night, and it was night time. And also the Sea of Galilee is very famous for abundance of fish. In spite of all the favorable factors, we read that they caught nothing. And the monotony is broken by the affectionate voice of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. "Children," so Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And they could not recognize, children, they could not recognize that it was Jesus. Probably one reason is that the night was big, very early in the morning. Another reason could be that if you look at further down there is a gap of around 90 meters between the boat and the position of Jesus Christ. So they could not easily recognize who is that person, but the voice was audible. We didn't get anything. This is a question that sometimes the Lord asks. In spite of all your factors favorable to you, sometimes you are like failing miserably. And they admitted no. The Sea of Galilee, on the shores there are many towns. They depend upon the fish from the sea. So that place is abundance of fish.
But that night they could not make anything in spite of all the favorable factors. Jesus knew very well the answer that it was no, because Jesus knew very well that they did not get anything. But he wanted to hear from their mouth to prove that they are unable in this mission. Then, brothers and sisters, this passage is teaching us a very important lesson. Relying on self, relying on your acquired abilities, relying on your skills and experience sometimes could be very dangerous. It can lead to utter failures. And the Lord can sometimes prove also that our abilities are nothing. Hence, in all situations, when we come across, sometimes it will be very difficult. Don't try to do it on your own self. The scripture is teaching us to admit the fact that you and I are unable to handle it. Do not depend on your skill. Do not depend on your past successes. Do not depend on your past experience. Lord may prove that you are nothing. Sometimes we need to go to Him and admit, Lord, I am nothing. I can't do anything. I need to depend on You. So, we need to rely on Jesus Christ, understanding that you and I are unable. I know a believer who works in a secular profession, and he used to help Christian organizations conduct various Christian programs. And he is very skilled in handling people, interpersonal skills, pronunciation is fantastic. And people used to praise him always. You are doing an excellent job. And every time he used to feel very proud that I can do it. Any situation I can handle. And he was sharing his experience. And one Christian program he was asked to coordinate. He made a wonderful presentation in PowerPoint using all the animations possible. If you click here, you'll get the schedule, you click here, you get the participants. Everything is there on the screen. And this Christian program was happening in a remote village. He went there and the program is about to kickstart. He's at the pulpit, switched on, there's no thing, nothing coming on with the screen, but the screen is black. Immediately he recognized that he broke the wrong cable in connecting the laptop with the project. And they could not do anything. Because since it's a remote village, another 4 hours they have to travel to come to the nearest place to find a replacement. And this person was sharing with me such a humiliating experience. And he fumbled completely at the introduction because he didn't know how to handle it. And he made a mess of it. But one point he learned, I can't do anything without laying on Jesus Christ. And thereafter he always used to depend, whatever may be the case, to depend on Him completely. So dear brothers and sisters, admit your incapability to Jesus Christ. In all situations, He is sufficient. He is a risen Lord. He is sufficient for your eternal life. Then how can He become insufficient for taking you through the short period of life? So the Lord is encouraging us to trust in the risen Lord and never rely on our abilities or your abilities. The second aspect of sufficiency we learn from this chapter is regarding the ability of Jesus Christ. We are thrilled to understand that we can rely on Him because He is able to do it in all situations. Let us look at the verses 6 and 7. Very focused upon verses 6 and 7. And once in 6 and 7 we understand that once the 7 people admitted, the 7 disciples admitted that we are unable. We could not do anything in spite of all the factors that were favorable to us. What we see is Jesus Christ is not standing as a spectator. Jesus Christ is not standing as a person who is simply watching the show. We find that Jesus Christ is that kind intervening. He is interfering in the situation. He is giving an instruction. Shall we read verse 6? He said, and He said to them, cast the net on the right hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. These are the words of Jesus Christ. We find that when they were willing to accept their inability, your incapability, we find that Jesus Christ is interfering at that point of time and giving them valuable instruction. guided so that they be successful in that particular situation. So we understand very clearly that how Jesus Christ is intervening in the situation when we admit our inability to handle it. And one question that can pop up is, why did they obey Jesus Christ? Because they never knew that that was Jesus Christ. Probably there could be some movement in the water beneath on the right side of the boat, some movement of some fish, but they immediately cast the net. They were willing to cast the net on the right hand side of the boat. And we were surprised. We see here that they got a huge catch of fish, verse 6 at the end. So they cast, and then they were not able to hold it in because of the great number of fish. A huge catch of fish. A great number of fish they were able to get. And it's written that they were not able to drag. They were not able to hold because of the great number of fish. Now, when this happened, immediately, one out of the seven recognized that it is the Lord. Look at verse 7, we read that. Therefore, look at verse 7, how it is starting. Therefore, it very clearly shows that this action can be only attributed to the Lord. When they saw this huge haul, catch of fish, they understood. John could understand that it is the Lord's action. Without any doubt, they could recognize that it is the Lord's doing. It is the Lord's action. So how did he recognize that? Now let us look at some of the unfavorable factors during fishing during that time. We know that when you fish at a particular spot, you will never get such huge catch of fish. Point number two, we read that almost it is a break time. During the daybreak time, normally fish won't come to that spot. And also we know that this gap is only 90 meters from the shore. If you want to have good fish to be caught, then you will go up the middle of the Sea of Galilee, that is around 5 kilometers from the shore. Absolutely, we find that all the factors are not favorable, but even then, the catch was a huge one. So John could not sit silent. He explained, it is the Lord. So everyone started understanding that it is the work of the Lord. So dear brothers and sisters, always be comforted that in spite of all the unfavorable situations you and I face, the Lord can maintain way out. And also in the previous time, also if you remember the book of Luke, John had been a witness to similar type of sign when Jesus was calling John, James and Simon Peter to fish men. He has witnessed a similar action. So it is very clear from the passage that he could recognize, that he could realize that it is the action of the Lord. So here we find that, dear brothers and sisters, many times you are unable to handle. Many times we stand as spectators. We don't know how to handle. But the moment we understand that the Lord is able, the Lord can work beyond all natural reasoning and natural laws. He can work beyond the understanding of our brain. Our hearts are prompt and motivated to trust in Him, because He is able to handle all the situations. And all the unfavorable circumstances are nothing in the sight of Him. I remember a brother, a few weeks back, he came and was telling this prayer mantra with me. He was telling that he works in a small shop in Pachim, and the shop owner, now he's relocating abroad. And this brother was told that, now no job, find a new job. And this person has a family, a child, and he was telling this matter to me that, how can I survive? How can I take care of my family? How can I manage my family without any income? And in that unfavorable circumstances, he was not depending upon his skill or his past experience. He wanted to trust in the Lord. He was sharing all of these things to the other dear brothers in Christ. And all of them praying together. And 2 weeks back, what happened is this brother, he came with a congregation and he suddenly stood up. And normally he's a very shy person. Normally he won't talk too much. But something has happened in his life. He could not hold himself. He stood up and told a very wonderful thing that happened in the last week. And you know, all things were unfavorable. And it is the Lord's doing. He was telling that the person who has asked me to look for a new job because he's going abroad told me that you could manage the shop in my absence. And this person was wondering how it is possible. Other than you were telling me that you're going to throw me out of my job, now you're telling me that you are elevated to a position to manage the shop in his absence. We are wonderstruck to know that the Lord's doing is marvelous. Many times we are stuck and overwhelmed by the situation. We forget this fact that we can rely on Jesus Christ because He is able. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? That's a question that appears many times in the scripture. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Never, never, dear brothers and sisters. So when any unfavorable circumstances come, do not try to depend on your skill or your ability. Rely on Jesus Christ because He is able. He can work even in unfavorable circumstances and bring a great work out of it. And now, when we such situations come, the main thing we can do is to do not stop praying for it. Never stop praying for it. We must immediately try to depend on the Lord in prayer, like the brother who did. Never trust in your own self and admitting that you are not able to handle it. The third aspect we read concerning the sufficiency in this passage is that Jesus Christ our Lord cares for humanity. That's a wonderful message we can get from this passage. Rely on Jesus Christ because He cares for humanity. And for them we understand that the fact that He is not only able, but He is a caring one. He cares for humanity to be a major factor that can challenge, motivate you and I to depend on Him in all the situations. Now, once upon we read the scripture also here that once they understood that He is the Lord, what happened? We read that suddenly we find that Peter and others, they wanted to meet Jesus Christ. Immediately we find in verse 7 we read, therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he had stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. In verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So we find that once they understood that it is the Lord, everyone is so eager to meet the Lord. Suddenly we find over-excited Peter jumping into the sea, he's swimming and coming to the shore. Whereas the remaining 6 people who are coming by the boat, dragging the huge catch of fish in the net. But now we find all are at the shore. Jesus Christ and His 7 people are at the shore. And a wonderful, spectacular scene was awaiting for them at the shore. And if you look at the element of the scene at the shore, we find about the wonderful care of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how much He is caring for His own people is very much evident. If you look at the element of the scene at the shore, which was a greeting for all the 7 people. The first thing is, we find there is prepared food. The food is prepared on the shore. They could find a coal fire with fish and bread, prepared food on the shore. They desperately needed it. That shows that the Lord was caring for them. And the second scene is, the Jesus Christ directed Simon Peter to go to the net. We'll see that in verse here, that in verse 11, at the instruction of Jesus, in verse 10, we read, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have now caught. Now, Jesus is giving an instruction to go and bring some of the fish now caught. That time, Peter is going near the net. Something extraordinary was waiting for him. He could find that 153 large fish. But look at the conclusion there. Because he's a fisherman, he knows very well. Verse 11, there were so many, the net was not torn. We need to understand the care, even we know that they could not have afforded the damage caused by the huge catch of fish because of this net. The net would have been torn apart. But Jesus Christ is taking care of that aspect also. Now, coming to the parental care being offered by Jesus Christ. In verse 12 we read, we find the invitation of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to them, verse 12, come and have breakfast. That's an invitation offered by Jesus Christ to Stephen. He's not only inviting, we find in verse 13, Jesus himself, he came and took the bread and gave it to them and the fish likewise. Who can care like this to his own people? Only the Lord can do such kind of a care. We are excited at the wonderful care the Lord can offer for his own people. At this age, will a father and mother care to their children? Never. They can take care till 10 or 15 years of age. Or maybe about 25 and 30. Like more than a father, more than a mother, the Lord is taking care of the needs of his people. The sound of invitation. And even he himself going, and he finds that he himself is going and serving to the seven people. So, a very important question that can come is, who are you? Is a question they never venture to ask. Look at verse 12, nobody asks this question, who are you? It is written that, who are you? None of the disciples venture to question him, who are you, knowing that it was them. They know that only God, the Lord can be such kind of a wonderful care to his own people. Who would be there at the beach except the Lord, who can give such kind of a care when they desperately need it? And I wonder that they could have been, all the seven would have been really comforted and assured. They needed assurance. They needed comfort. But the care was given by the Lord himself. He's not appointing anybody else. He himself is standing at the shore and meeting their need of food, meeting their need of assurance, meeting their need of everything. And that is a wonderful picture we understand. How much it will motivate you and I when a need comes. We can rely on him, not only that he is able, at the same time, he is a caring God to you and I. And it would be wrong if I skip to tell you what happened that night when we could not travel by the train. The Lord's care was marvelous. We can see there that on that day the Lord gave a very comfortable travel back to the place of stay. We could not go travel by the train on that night. But we knew that it was like I'm traveling with my wife and children. He gave a very comfortable travel back to my home. And after 2 days, the Lord gave, confirmed the ticket in Dhaka, even at the time of heavy internet traffic. That was Lord's providence. His care, he knew that we need to go, and he granted it. And the exciting thing is, the moment I booked the ticket, the pastor in the church called me up, and he is requesting to be a company to an elderly lady who was traveling in the same group. We are so shocked to see how the Lord is caring for that elderly. Actually, she is a sister in Christ and she is an old woman and she is a widow. She needed a lot of support and care. And the Lord was arranging us to give that support and care to that lady. We were just looking at the wonderful care the Lord needs to disarm people. We are excited to know that our Lord is risen. He is a living God. The one who is sufficient for eternal life. Is he not sufficient for everything that happens in our day-to-day life? Can we look at the Lord and tell that this is not possible with him? No, all things are possible with him, but there are many things impossible with us. The Lord wants us to admit this fact of dear brothers and sisters that we are nothing. We are nothing. We cannot do anything. But we can trust in him because he is able. And more than father or mother, he will care for you and I. Because we are his blood, bone, children. We are his own people. Let me also give a challenge that anxiety-free living is possible for everyone. Because a Peter who experienced this such kind of a care, he writes to the believers in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. What did he write? Casting all your anxiety upon his, because he cares for you. What a wonderful care the Lord is offering to you and I, because we are his children. And finally, brethren, you and I can rely on Jesus Christ on all situations, because he is able and he is caring for you and I. And let me conclude by this saying that a person, a brother or sister who knows the truth will live a totally different life on the face of the earth. Those who know this truth, the person's life will be radically changed. We no longer find Peter there with the fishing net. Immediately, if you look at the context of chapter 21, we find that the Lord is commissioning Peter after the restoration. And he goes on for the Lord, not living an ordinary life on the face of the earth. The person who knows that Jesus Christ is sufficient for him or her in all situations cannot live an ordinary life. You and I will be able to live a life that will be glorifying his name, which is always displaying his power and glory. And that will be a great testimony to everyone around us. So dear brothers and sisters, he is risen. He is sufficient for our day-to-day life because he has already granted the eternal life. So let us admit that we are unable. We are nothing. I mean, we may be boasting about many acquired abilities and strength and things like that. The Lord can prove that all those are nothing in our life. So let us admit that in all those situations, the Lord is sufficient because he is able. And not only that, he is able. He is the one who cares for his soul. Shall we humble our hearts in prayer, looking to the Lord, and let us pray that we will be able to live a life not filled with anxiety. Anxiety free living, because our Lord is risen. He lives too. Shall we humble our hearts and pray? Lord, we come to you this all time, and we know that we are nothing. We admit that even if we have many, many things to boast about, we are nothing. We want to admit it in front of you, Lord. But we know that you are able in all situations. And we know that you are so wonderful. And we know that, Lord, you are the one who cares for each one of us upon everyone. So today, Lord, we want to trust in the risen Lord. You have granted us eternal life. We want to believe and trust and rely on you, knowing that, Lord, one who has granted eternal life is sufficient for our day to day. We come in every the Lord's hand. Thank you for the ministry of your word. Thank you for the ministry of your spirit in our lives. Lord, help us to live a different life on the face of the earth. Help us to live a life that is always glorifying and displaying your strength, even when we are weak in many places. We again humble and we give you all the glory and honor. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name.